Our speaker for this next hour is Brother Philip Van Winkle.
Come down to verse 13 of 1 Peter chapter 2, and Peter gets more specific here in his instruction to us. He says, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." Well, Peter, what is my duty? What is my responsibility to the government? What is it that I am supposed to do since I have placed my membership and my loyalty with Jesus Christ? We don't follow the flesh. Christ lives in us. So what is my duty to the civil government? Some might say, well, since I am subject to Jesus, then I'm not subject to the government. Someone might reach that conclusion, but Peter says that is not the case. He says, submit yourselves to every ordinance. That's the word law. Every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. We are to be good citizens, to keep all the laws. Well, which laws am I supposed to keep? Well, what does it say? It says every ordinance or every law. Now, are there any exceptions to this? Yes, of course. If you have your Bibles, you might want to turn back to Acts chapter 4 and look at verse 18 and 19. They called them, talking about the apostles and the disciples, commanded them not to speak at all, nor to teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, "Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you judge." Peter says, if there is an ordinance of man that gets in the way of obedience to God, then God comes first. We obey His will over the government of man. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, it says, "Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, 'We ought to obey God rather than man.'" We must obey God rather than man. So as long as the law violates the will of God, we need to remember that God comes first. But I want to make this simple. There are many ordinances of men that I do not believe are in keeping with God's will, but I can still keep the law without violating God's will. For instance, if a law passes here in the United States that says you cannot have prayer in public school, well, I think that that is a bad law. Now, you might differ with me on that, but I believe that that probably is not a very good law. But I can still obey it without being disobedient to God. I can still go and I can pray by myself, or I can get a group of people together and we can go pray at my house or some other place. But if a law is passed that forces me to do something contrary to God's will, then I cannot obey that ordinance of man. And so verse 14, "Or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well." The ones who have rule over us are God sent. It is God's will that we have a government. Now, I don't know if I think that every time someone is in office that God has hand-selected that person. I'm not sure if I believe that. But I do know that it is God's will that there is a law and that there is a government. Who would want to live in a law-free society where just anything goes, where it's just lawlessness and chaos? We'd be scared to death to even try to live in a place like that. And so verse 15 says, "For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." So these foolish people who don't believe have nothing against you. He says, keep the law. You know, if I act like these people act, or if I react in the same way that these people react, then really there is no difference between me and them. And so Peter is saying to us, don't give these people anything that they can accuse you of and be right in their accusation. Now, we also need to remember that this was written in a time when the governors and the rulers were evil, evil men. Nero lived around this time period. Lots of wicked men lived in this time period. And yet, God wants us to have a government. He wants us to have rules. He wants us to have laws. And He expects us, His people, to follow those laws. Now, I know that the government is not always doing what they should, and we understand that. I know that we could spend hours discussing certain political issues and telling how bad this is or how bad that is. But I want you to know that that I love America, and I'm sure that you love whatever country you're in as well. I love the fact that we can meet on any day of the week, and we can get together, and we can study God's Word. There are many places in this world where you can't do that. So I'm thankful that we do live in a land that allows us that freedom. I'm also aware that in America today, the only people that you can still belittle and the only people that you can still talk bad about really are the Christians. You can ridicule us. You can make fun of us on television. You can talk bad and tell us how stupid we are because we believe in the Bible. Oh, but you can't talk bad about any other religious groups because then you're violating their rights. But even still, I am glad to be in this country where we can come and we can worship God, regardless what other people think of us. But verse 14 again says, Or unto governors, or unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. Here is the very purpose of government: to punish those who do evil, to praise those who do good, to protect and to hold the hands of those who are doing what is right, to punish those who are doing wrong. But is that what is going on around us today in our world? It's backwards many times, isn't it? Those who do evil are praised by the government, and those who do right many times get punished for it. Many times it is the government who protects the rights of those who are living sinful lives, those who are doing wrong, and if we say anything about it, we're the ones who end up getting in trouble for it. Some today cry out, well, you cannot legislate morality. Oh, but you can. You can legislate morality. In fact, God did. In fact, every government does. All governments do. That is why there are laws against murder. There are laws against drug abuse or laws against pedophilia. That's why it's a law against raping someone. What a ridiculous idea to say that we cannot legislate morality. God did, and every government on earth does. That's the very purpose of the government, to punish evil and to reward good. For verse 15 says, For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. He says, You obey the civil law, because God wants us to have these laws. He wants us to obey these laws. When you and I act like the rest of the world, we break the same laws that they break. It's an argument, really, for their side, for why they ought not to become a Christian. If I'm trying to convince someone to become a Christian, to show them that I'm Christ-like, and yet I speed down the road just at the same speed that they all speed down the road, well, I'm not really showing them that I'm any different than the world. It is hypocritical to claim to follow God's laws and then to go out and break man's laws. That makes us hypocritical. And we know that when man's laws contradict God's laws, we don't do that. But that's not what we're talking about. You and I are to be examples to people. We are to follow the laws of man so that when someone comes to us and says, Why should I become a Christian when I see you breaking the same laws that I break? Well, they won't have anything to say against us. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. And then verse 16 he says, As free, not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. This verse says that we are free, but then it says we're servants. Well, what are we free from? Well, these men were free from the law of Moses, and that's true. But what were they free from? Well, they were free from sin, and we are too. Not because we don't ever sin anymore. You and I still sin. We have been made, though, free from sin because our sin has been forgiven when we have decided to follow Jesus Christ. Since we have been free from sin, we don't need to start thinking that we can just live any way that we want to live. We've been freed from sin, but that doesn't give us the right to continue sinning. In fact, Paul discusses that in Romans chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, please open them to Romans chapter 6, and let's look at verse 1 and 2 together. It says, What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead in sin live any longer therein? You see, these people thought that they could just live free from sin and yet still live their lives serving sin. They thought, hey, you know, I'm cleansed from sin by grace, then I'm just going to keep sinning so that grace can keep growing more and more. You know, many times we might think that about ourselves, that since I've been forgiven by God, that I can just go ahead and go out and keep sinning and then just keep asking forgiveness and everything's going to be okay. But we're not supposed to be living that way. That is not what we're to do. In fact, that makes us hypocritical as well. In fact, he says, God forbid. Quite literally, never let it be said. I've heard this, and perhaps you've heard this too. You know, it really doesn't matter whether we worship in a, quote, prescribed manner or not. I mean, we can just keep doing what we are doing and just let grace abound. Now, we don't eat the Lord's Supper every Sunday, and it's okay because God's grace is going to take care of it. At least that's what I've heard before. Some people say, you know, we like instrumental music in our church, and I know the Bible doesn't say that it's okay, but you know, God's grace is just going to take care of that too. But Paul's answer to that is not to do it. Meganeta, God forbid, never let it be said. You and I cannot live our lives trying on one hand to serve God and on the other hand to just live our lives any way that we want to. And that's what Peter's discussing here. We are to still abide by the authority of the government because God has given us this government. And as long as we can continue to live in that government and still please God, then that is what we are expected to do. I hope you have enjoyed this talk today about the Christian's role in the government. Are you a child of God? If you'd like to become a child of God, you can by simply obeying what the Scriptures tell us. First of all, just hear the Word of God, study it, and apply it to your lives. Romans chapter 10 and verse 14. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God, as it says in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. Repent of your sins, that is, you change your actions about living a sinful life. Confess Jesus as the Son of God, as we're told in Matthew chapter 10, verse 32 and 33, and Romans chapter 10 and verse 10. And then you are to be immersed, baptized in water in order to have the forgiveness of your sins, Acts chapter 2, verse 38. And then you and I must live and die faithful to the Lord. Part of that living is obeying the government to the best of our abilities so that no man will have anything bad to say against us.